We've been given quite an honor of the Lord, some of this revelation he's given us. We have a great responsibility with it. It's a weighty thing. I want to move back into what I call the corporate eyewitness. It definitely is going to require a renewing of the mind to understand the power of what I'm about to talk to you about. And basically what he opened to us before was the entire revelation of the New Testament concerning the operation or facet of the eyewitness testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you a little bit of review. He just recently opened the entire Old Testament. I understand now why he did it. It's literally from Genesis to Revelation. The eyewitness began in Genesis. It ended in Revelation with 144,000. The Lord commissions them on the mountain standing in front of them. It's a very important part of the testimony of the Lord in the way the Lord approaches humanity in general since the fall of humanity. You have to see the whole world and its system like God sees it. It's literally like a courtroom. God has to judicially enter back into a fallen world. He gave everything, but when it fell, the enemy took over by default. And God has to judicially and righteously enter back in. And the way God does this is by way of testimony. He goes in the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses. Most of the time it's 3. And I'm not talking about 3 people. 3 facets of witness that he brings to establish an operation. You see this when the early church launched. He just didn't have the Holy Spirit fall upon them. That was actually the final operation, and he brings all the demonstration, the operation. He's the teacher, the comforter. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the Holy Spirit. But before he did, he prepared their testimony. The first thing he did was establish an eyewitness testimony with the apostles. You see this in Luke 24. He actually appeared to them 5 different times. He said, well, that's the apostles. Yeah, but then he appeared to 500 people before his ascension. Then he appeared to Paul. And according to Paul said, he was seen of all the apostles. Say all. That's a lot. Say all is all. Even Paul said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? I mean, he was like comparing the apostolic ministry. And you really understand the nature of apostolic ministry. The very core of apostolic ministry is to bear witness of the resurrection. When he appeared before them, the first thing he did, appeared before them. And he said, look, I need you to know you're not seeing a spirit. Or because they supposed they were seeing a ghost, because there he is. And it just blew their mind. It'd blow your mind too. Amen. First thing he said, touch me. He wasn't arbitrarily just telling them, touch my hands, touch my feet. I want you to know. He goes, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like you see me have. Establishing you are seeing me. Then he said, stop. He said, let's eat. Eat with me. Give me something to eat. In a vision, you're not going to just eat something. You'll be eating it by faith. You're literally eating it. They ate with him several times. Peter ate with him. In fact, Peter Setson only said, we ate with him after his resurrection. That's what he told him in the house of Cornelius. And then, in Luke 24, it said he opens the books to them. Now, I've taught all this. He opened the book of Moses, Luke 24, and he opened the Psalms and the prophets. And the Lord Jesus himself said, open their understanding to his death, burial, and resurrection. He says, all of this was foreshadowing my resurrection. We know this because this is what Peter comes out of the gate with, speaking of the right hand of God. First message out of the gate, outside of Joel. He quotes the book of Joel, but in his first message is Psalm 16. Glory. And then Psalms 110, speaking of the right hand of God and the resurrection of Christ. God establishes what? Eyewitness. What's the second testimony he establishes? Why? Because he's about to send them to bear testimony that I have been raised from the dead, but I'm not sending you to bear a testimony of faith. I'm sending you to bear a real testimony. You see me, you're eyewitness. You're in a courtroom out there, and I'm going to send you with eyewitness testimony. We taught the entire book of Acts and showed you every message that they had centered on the resurrection and testimony of the resurrection. It's with great, say great power, gave the apostles witness of his resurrection, and great grace was upon them. Never in the Bible you hear the words great grace except in that verse. Great grace. Say great grace. Great grace was upon their testimony. Now the eyewitness said people go to heaven all the time, they see the Lord, but that eyewitness testimony alone is not the total package. You have to understand what he sent him with. He establishes a testimony. Five times he appears to Peter. Five times. Maybe six. It's five or six. Before they sent him out. He ordains Peter in an eyewitness state. And then he gives them the message from his word. That is the second witness. The word. The witness of the Old Testament and the New. And then he says, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. What's he say? Tells us in Luke 24, it's very important to hear this. You are going to be witnesses of these things that you see and hear today. Okay? Now, Luke writes the book of Acts, so he's recounting Luke 24 in Acts chapter 1. He's recounting what happened in Luke chapter 24, that visitation. And Luke says, what did he say? By many infallible proofs, Acts says, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Say, many infallible proofs. Why did he show himself alive by many infallible proofs? Because that is the message. It's the message of his resurrection. He was confirming that testimony. And then what he says, behold, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And we all sit right there. Right? It's a good thing to sit right there. To be my witnesses. We're all witnesses. But there is a testimony that belongs to the apostolic office. And it's an eyewitness testimony. When he said, to be my witnesses, he said that in Luke 24. He told them in Luke 24, you will be witnesses of the things you see. He said that in a resurrected state. I'm the Lord. He's an apostle. Thomas, stand over here. Hallelujah. Enrique, you're John. Come up here. Yeah, he's definitely a good John. Chuck's a Peter. He'd be a good Peter. You stand over here. Thomas, you stand behind them. Hallelujah. So I'm the Lord. I'm standing in a resurrected state. And I'm saying, touch me. We're going to eat together. He opens the books to them. And he says, now you guys, you 12, plus there was more than 12 because we know Matthias, the 12th apostle to be called, he was called out of another order and he said, we must ordain somebody to be an eyewitness. And his qualification was what? He had to have been seen of the Lord from the time of John all the way that he was taken up. One must be ordained to be an eyewitness. So he tells me, standing in an eyewitness state, and he said, now you guys wait for the Holy Ghost. You are going to be my witnesses of what you're looking at today. Eyewitnesses. I'm establishing your witness. I've established the word. Now wait for the Holy Ghost. So when Acts said, behold, you see power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witnesses, he was standing in front of them in an eyewitness state. You see that? Now, we taught that all through, did same thing with Paul, gave him the exact same thing he did with the apostles, but he called him out of due season, didn't call him amongst them, he called him outside, gave him eyewitness, gave him the word of the resurrection, right hand of God, gave him the Holy Ghost. Those three is what's going to change the world. Those three witnesses. Amen. Now that's review, as much as I can give you. Now, what the Lord recently did is he opened the Old Testament up. He said, look, you want the entire. When you're teaching this, because this is a very dynamic type of operation, the eyewitness, you want the entire counsel. So today, we're going to look at Abraham. Amen? So I want you to go all the way back to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Now, the Lord appeared to Abraham four times in person. I don't know what kind of body he was in, but he appeared to him because he called him Lord. And he walked with him and he spoke as Lord and as God four times. Now, the first time he appeared to him is when he came out. It was in Genesis 12. God gave two major covenants to Abraham. One was a covenant for the land, and the second was a covenant for his seed, the nations that would come after him. Amen? So there was two covenants. Your seed would be as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. But then he gives them a covenant for the land. When he appears to him first is in Genesis 12. I don't want to spend a lot of time in, but just go there. Go to 12 and I'll just show it to you. The first two appearances, God was establishing His witness. You have to understand, when God does something, especially with Abraham, you're going to see why he did this. Why did he appear to Abraham? He was establishing a witness with him. He was establishing a testimony because he was going to give him an entire nation. Kings were going to come out of his loins, and the Son of God was going to come out of his loins. So God was standing before him in an eyewitness when he promises this. And he gives him the promise to go with it, which God often do. And then God mightily blesses them. God's always going to confirm the word. Amen. Where do we get into Moses? He tells them, you go tell him I appeared to you. That's what he said. That's your message. I've appeared to you. Well, who should I say appeared? He said, just tell him I am appeared to you. I am who? I am that I am. Pretty good name. Only God can talk like that. So Genesis 12. God had just called him out. And he comes into Shechem, and the Lord appeared unto him. Verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham. First appearance, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. So the first thing he does is establishing the covenant for the land. If you go over to 15, because I want to really hone in on the second covenant that he made. In chapter 15, he comes to him again. He comes to him four or five times. Now the Lord's going to come to Abraham. Sometimes he just comes speaking to him. But these times he comes and appears to him in person. He's establishing testimony. So when Abraham said, out of my loins will come nations and the Son of God himself, he is speaking from an eyewitness state with a promise of God, and the Holy Ghost is blessing them. He blessed them so greatly that the nations understood that the Lord was with them. He was validating their testimony. When God comes, he'll validate testimony. The two major ways he validates testimony is wealth and power. Say wealth and power. Well, these three patriarchs were mightily wealthy. I mean, they weren't perfect, but they were wealthy because God was validating. He will do that. Especially when he appears to you. Because you're going to tell them, God appeared to me and told me the Son of God's coming through my loins. Yeah. And who told you that, Abraham? God told me. He appeared to me. I talked to him. Oh, okay. See, your words alone. God doesn't send you with words alone. But I have his promise. He's not going to send you a promise alone. He's going to validate it with power, wealth, or both. Say power, wealth, or both. God has to validate your message when it's that extreme. I would call that extreme. Now, chapter 15, he says, I'm going to give you a covenant for the land. He comes back and tells him, he goes, wherefore, how will I know that you're going to do this for me? He says, prepare a heifer for me. And he split him in half. And Abraham, all these birds came down. And Abraham was trying to help God out, so God put this glory on him. He said he fell asleep, but God was talking to him, so he was quite awake. But the glory of God came on him. You can read this later in chapter 15. And it said a burning lamp. I'll show you that verse. That's powerful. Verse 17, chapter 15. And it came to pass, and the sun went down. It was dark. I mean, the glory of God. You're talking glory right now. And behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp walked down on the earth and walked. See, covenant, Abraham cut that heifer in half and laid the two pieces, and they do a figure eight around them in a covenant ceremony. And the smoking lamp and the burning furnace, the Lord himself comes down in a smoking, and he walks between the sacrifices, and Abraham's on his face, and he's talking to Abraham, unto thy seed I make a covenant, I'm going to give this land. That's why that land belongs to them. And it's always going to belong to them. God gave it a covenant to him. That's why he could call them out from the nations and give it right back to them. And nobody can stop that. Because he cut a covenant with them. Now that was, he was covenant for the land. Then he's going to get into covenant of the seed of his lineage. Because he's really going to make some promises to Abraham. And this is really why he's appearing to him. Because he's going to validate these promises. He goes, Abraham, the Son of God himself, the heir, the new heir, is going to come through your loins. Now imagine you being Abraham hearing that. So chapter 17 and 18, he deals with these issues. Almost all of chapter 17 is an eyewitness account of the Lord. All of chapter 18, the Lord is with Abraham the entire time. In person. Why is that important? And why is that going to get restored to the church today? Because God is going to restore the apostolic office in full measure. Say full measure. He's going to restore the message, the apostolic office, and the corporate eyewitness, because he's not going to have the hardly church come out of the gate and expect the world to believe them. Why wouldn't he give it to us? We're bearing witness 2,000 years. You can preach and preach and preach and preach to the world, but when you stand up and said, I have his word and I have seen the Lord, and he's the only way to the Father, prove it. Even Jesus said it. What was his message? I have come from the Father. I have seen the Father. No man's seen the Father, but I've seen him because he sent me. And if you cannot believe the Father has sent me, or the doctrine, because I am a witness that he sent me, or you can't believe the doctrine, believe these works. That's why God's always going to accompany the apostolic office with that level of demonstration, which everybody's looking for. Everybody wants that kind of creative power. Is everybody looking for it or not? We've been looking for a long time. This is a major key. It's one of three. The good news is we've got two keys. Say, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I have the message of the right hand of God and resurrection. That's second key, because that's your witness. We're bearing witness that Christ is a king in the right hand of God and an apostolic priest in the right hand of God. Somebody's going to have to convince the world and validate our testimony. Not going to be me. The Holy Ghost is going to validate that testimony. But I need one more thing, and you need it too. And by the way, he didn't just appear to the apostles. Everybody around him saw him too. First who saw him was the five women. He said he showed himself, appeared to 120, and he appeared to a 500 brethren at one time, 1 Corinthians 15. Say 500. At one time, before his ascension. Now, the one I want to hone in on is chapter 17. Amen. The Lord said, he goes, you need to establish what you're talking about is very fresh. And it takes a renewing of the mind, because some people don't understand why it is. Because he's validating in the courtroom of the world system. He's going to validate 2,000 years ago that he's still the way, still the truth. Amen. He is going to send apostles with that message. But he's going to validate eyewitness testimony. Look, Anna and I are one flesh. If I was a witness to an accident and I couldn't go, I just sent Anna. We're one flesh. Just tell the judge we're married. He'll believe you. How far you think that would go? Oh, judge, my husband saw it. Well, we're one flesh. I love him. He loves me. Judge goes, I understand that. Look, we're in a courtroom here. The only thing I accept is eyewitness testimony. Hallelujah. All right. So Abraham chapter 17. Up to verse 22, from verse 1 to verse 22, all was an eyewitness. The Lord was standing. Everything that transpired, the Lord was in front of Abraham in an eyewitness state. Look at verse 22. It says, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Talked to him for an entire chapter, and then he goes up. Abraham, I'll see you later. This is Genesis. Chapter 17, you're like this. Verse 1. Abram, he's still Abram at this time. God hasn't changed his name. God's going to shift his identity when he appears to him. He says, Abraham was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Did he appear to him? All right, he's 99. He's 1 year from the promise. A lot of times, by the way, God appears right when he's ready to do it. Sometimes he don't appear years before. He'll give you the word years before, but when he makes his appearance, like Moses, he was ready to deliver him. When he made his appearance to the apostles, he was ready to release. When he made his appearance to Abraham, he's 1 year from birthing. He didn't appear to him on this particular subject. This is the first time he appears. He spoke to him about this, because he's going to talk about his seed now. He's going to make a covenant with his seed. This time he's appearing because he's ready to do it. When God starts appearing, he's going to finalize the testimony to launch. He appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. Now, he's in an appearance in glory. How you know? Because Abraham's about to bite the dust here. All these people say, oh, yeah, God appeared to me. I'm telling you, when God appears to you, there's going to be a weightiness. You're going to carry something when you start talking about God appearing to you. You might have seen a vision. When the Lord Jesus appears to you, there's going to be a weightiness attached to it. Serious weightiness. Watch what he says. He said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I'll make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face when God talked with him. That's what happens when God appears to you. You bite the dust. I mean, people get all these visions and everything. I saw the Lord. You might have saw a vision, but when you see the Lord firsthand, you're going down. Just like Johnny, I fell at his feet like a dead man. You don't stand before the Lord. Usually you fall first and then he'll ask you to stand up. Now you see him in a vision, it's different because it doesn't have that weightiness on it. When you see him, I mean see him, he's there to establish something. He's doing it for a reason. Amen. Now this is the particular reason. He's about to cut a covenant with Abraham and his seed. And the covenant was circumcision. He goes, here's how you know this whole nation is going to be circumcised. The males are going to be circumcised before me. That was his covenant with the seed. Now watch this. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Abraham fell on his face, verse 4. And as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but Abraham. I'm changing your identity to father of many nations. I'm changing what you say now. Because every time he had introduced himself, Abraham means father of many nations. I am father of many. See, he changed his identity. He was creating his testimony. Because God's telling him, I'm going to bring a nation through you. I'm bringing kings through you. And I'm going to bring my seed through you. And I'm establishing your testimony. You're now a father of many nations. When you speak it, I'm going to back you. That's why he was so exceedingly blessed. God was validating his testimony. I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost validates you, you don't have to struggle. I don't care what demonic presence is anywhere. You stand up and start talking, the Holy Ghost is going to fall. Because he's going to validate your testimony. That is what's missing in the church. We need a validation of apostolic office. True validation. When you're sent with an eyewitness and sent with his word, the Holy Ghost will back you. It's like he did with Moses. What if they don't believe that you appeared to me, Lord? Then I'll do signs. And when I'm done through doing signs, they will believe. Jesus said, if you cannot believe what I say to you, then believe the works. They will testify of me. That's God's pattern. He's not going to change it. Okay, verse 6. Here's the good part. And I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I'll make nations of thee, and kings will come out of thee. Whew, I like that. God start talking about your lineage like that. I will establish my covenant between me and thy seed. Say, me and thy seed. Underline thy seed. Underline that, put a little eyeballs, put a little arrow, say, look, look, look. Me and thy seed after thee in their generations, an everlasting covenant to be a father unto thee and thy seed. A father unto thee and thy seed. Back in Genesis 12, when God didn't appear to him, but he told him, and by word, he goes, I'm going to multiply your seed. As the stars of the heaven, the sand, he tells him in 22 as well, as the sand of the seashore. It's between Abraham and his seed. Say Abraham and his seed. Say his seed. That's important. You're going to find out who he's talking to in a minute. And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land. So he reaffirms the land. And then he goes into the covenant. In chapter 10 on, he talks about the covenant of circumcision. You're going to circumcise. This is my sign that your seed is in covenant with me. A whole nation will come in covenant. Every male is going to be circumcised before me. So that was the sign of his circumcision. That was a covenant he cut with his seed. Let's see what seed he was talking about, because it's very important to know who he was talking about to understand why he was appearing before him. God can multiply a nation. But there was a reason. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. So God comes to him and appears before, I am the Almighty. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your seed. I'm going to multiply you and your seed. Kings are going to come out of you. Nations are coming out of you. And your seed, he tells him in chapter 20, will possess the gates of his enemy. Now he's establishing a witness with Abraham, a testimony which God himself is going to validate. You got to get in your mind when God gets ready to release a testimony in the earth. There are oftentimes he is going to appear before the person to validate an eyewitness testimony. He's going to give them a word. He's going to give them a promise that they're going to carry or a word they're going to carry. And then he's going to give them the Holy Ghost to back up what they're saying. Right now, Holy Ghost is teacher. But soon he's going to be changing to the demonstrator. When God finishes the testimony and he gets it all where he wants it, then he's going to send the Holy Ghost to validate. That's what we don't understand. Well, that power, the great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Witness. He's validating your witness. That's how much he loves you. And when he backs you, flesh is not going to be able to refute the power and the wisdom by which you speak. Amen. It's one thing to say it. It's nothing. All right, I'm going to step back now. Holy Ghost is going to prove it to you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham in person, saying, in thee, in your seed, the ones we just looked at, shall all the nations be blessed. This is the gospel, Abraham, because I'm really talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you, but I am talking to somebody else. Well, who are you talking to? Somebody that's going to come 42 generations down. An heir that I'm going to reassign the entire earth and its resources and all power and glory, and he's going to be the heir of all salvation. That's who I'm talking to. Abraham knew it. God explained it to him. Watch this, verse 16. And now Abraham and his seed, say seed. Remember that seed? Abraham, your seed and your seed after you, where the promise is made. The promise is made. Say the promise is made. And he saith not, and the seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed, which is Christ. So when he was talking to Abraham and making those promises in an eyewitness state, he was standing there promising himself. Because Hebrews says, because I can swear by no greater, I swear to myself I will do this. Speaking about Abraham. To Aaron, because I can swear by greater, I never got this till now with the eyewitness, because the Lord was standing in front of Abraham, swearing to himself that was coming out of Abraham. Hallelujah. And I say the covenant, that's the covenant of circumcision. God made a covenant of circumcision that was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law comes along 400 years with Moses. 430 years after, cannot disannul the covenant that it would make the promise and not effect. What he's saying this, for at the inheritance be of the law, there's no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What he's saying there, he said, look, I have a covenant with Abraham that I'm going to bring this seed into the earth. He is the one that's going to bring the salvation. He's going to bring the righteousness that I require. But the law came along 430 years later, did not disannul that covenant. Because it could not produce the heir that God was looking for. Not in a lifetime could you still meet the requirements of God's righteousness, keeping the law. It wasn't given for that purpose. Is the promise still intact even though the law was given? It could not be fulfilled by the law. So that's what he's meaning. Look, the law comes along after the promise. The law is not producing the promise. I can't find the righteousness of God by keeping the law. It's still, there's a promise of an heir to come. He is going to create the righteousness of God. He is the one that's going to establish it. And we're going to get in on it by grace. Got it? So he's talking about Christ here. All right. Wherefore then serveth the law, who's added because of transgressions. Until, say until. The seed should come whom the promises were made. The seed should come to whom the promises were made. Who was God talking to when he was talking to Abraham?
He wasn't talking to seeds as of many. He was talking seeds as of one. Every time God appeared to him, he was talking to himself. How does that work? Chuck, you get to be Abraham. Come on, Jerry. You're going to get to be the father. Enrique, you make a great Jesus. So God really is doing this, but he actually, believe it or not, who's standing before Abraham? Not the Father. Father didn't come off the throne. It's Jesus. And Jesus is standing there with the Father, but he's representing the Father. So Father's doing all this. He's cutting the covenant. But Jesus, here's Abraham. I'm going to be the little seed that's coming 42 generations later. Now, the Lord's standing in front of him in bodily form, right? Father's behind all this. Here's Abraham. So Father's, he's instigating all this. The Lord's standing with Abraham. That's very apparent now. He's making promises in an eyewitness state. He goes, Abraham, because I can swear by no greater. I swear to you. I swear to myself I'm going to do this. Who's he talking to? This Lord is talking about that one that's going to be born 42 generations later. The Lord's swearing to himself that's going to come out of the loins of Abraham. Okay, what he says, because I'm not speaking seeds as of many, even though you're going to have a nation and I'm going to establish my covenant with them and I've given you land, but I am making promises to that one. He is going to be born 42 generations. He's my heir. And I'm establishing and authenticating and I'm appearing before you to tell you, Abraham, I am going to bring myself through your loins because I can swear by no greater. I swear to myself. I'm going to do it. See that? God, the Lord, was swearing to himself in Abraham's loins. I am going to do this. I'm making a covenant with you. I'm going to bring him, and then I'm going to multiply him. Every one of you in this building is a part of that multiplication process. Because every person that gets born again on the face of the earth is part of that. He's still multiplying 2,000 years ago. Promise is still happening. See, it's still happening. Still happening. Now, God did this with an eyewitness. He stands with Abraham and cuts a covenant with him in an eyewitness state. And he authenticates that by the blessing that comes upon him. That's how they're going to know, Abraham, because my blessing is going to be mighty upon you. It's going to be upon Isaac. It's going to be upon Jacob. I will authenticate that through your loins. In fact, the king Abimelech saw the blessing come so mighty on Isaac. He said, the Lord's with you. He said, that is right. And let me tell you what he has told me. When he stood in front of me, he's going to bring the seed through my loins. And that seed is going to be the salvation of the world. If you can get in on it right now, if you can believe that, you can get in on it right now. God was establishing the fact Christ was coming to the earth, so he did it with an eyewitness. If he did that in Genesis, he did it in the early church, he did it in Revelation, don't you think he's going to do it with his last day church? You think he's going to send us out in word only? He's going to send us with testimony. And he's going to authenticate what we're saying. That's why you have a right to ask him to have your testimony fulfilled. Go back to Genesis. He goes on in chapter 17 before he lifts off from him. I'll just exhort it to you for time's sake. He comes back, starts telling Sarah. He goes, now where's Sarah? And this is where Abraham gets in trouble. Because he's 99, she's 90. He goes, where's Sarah? Abraham, it's coming through her. Let's see what big faith man Abraham had to say about that. 1 year before his birth, staggered not that the promises of God was full of faith. Believed that what God had promised he was able to perform. Let's see what kind of faith he had when God first told him. Go to chapter 17. He found faith in 1 year, and so will you when the eyewitness comes and confirms. The eyewitness had a lot to do with Abraham's faith and God's confirming of the covenant. This was the miracle in itself. Look at Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah. Sarai, Sarah, shall her name be. I'll bless her, verse 16. And I'll give thee a son also of her. See that? Yeah, and I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. And Abraham, did he fall on his face out of the glory of God?
was the glory on him when he fell on his face? He said, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And said, shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, 90 years old, birth? Oh, and he said the words, oh, that Ishmael would live forever. You do not decree that in the midst of an eyewitness encounter. Because the Lord was standing in front of him making the promises, he witnessed in an eyewitness encounter, oh, that Ishmael would live, and God was bound to do it. He goes, all right, I have to multiply him too. But my covenant is with Isaac. But I'm going to make a nation of Ishmael because you said it. And he said it in the midst of an eyewitness encounter. Not good. Not good. Say, not good. Say, it's kind of heavy for Sunday morning. It needs to be heavy. The church needs to start chewing on something besides milk. Amen? I'm not here to grow a church in the natural. I'm here to find the apostolic blueprint because when the Holy Ghost gets ready to grow it, half the time all the multitudes were with the Lord, they didn't even know what he was talking about. But they were there because the fruit was coming out. They were going to have to press into what he was saying. They had to press into it. Amen? So he lifts off from him. Now, chapter 18, you can go home and read this one, but this was an awesome one. He comes to him. Abraham's just standing there. The entire chapter, the Lord is communing face to face with Abraham. Three men show up. It was the Lord himself and two angels that show up. And Abraham knew it was the Lord because I've been talking to him in chapter 17. And the first thing he does, I'm just going to exhort this. You can read this later. He goes, Sarah, get something ready. We're going to feed the Lord. He prepares him lunch. He said, stay right here. Don't go. That's what he said. Stay with me. I'll feed you. Sarah, you're going to feed him. What woman knew how to cook? He gets them and he eats with them. Abraham watches them by a tree, watches them eat. And then he comes back and reaffirms his covenant again with Abraham, with Sarah. And this time she laughs. She's hiding there listening. When the Lord shows up, it might be a man's meeting, but you're standing there with a tent. She's standing by the tent door listening to everything. She heard the Lord himself say, yeah, and Sarah, I'm certainly going to come to her at the time of life. I am going to renew all of her body and her functions. Hey, ladies, there is a youth renewal in God. He said, I am going to return you to the time of life. That means he took her body in reverse mode and pulled her back down into childbearing age. He restored her bodily functions, restored her countenance, restored her health, restored, he turned the clock back in one year. He goes, I'm certainly doing it. And Sarah laughed. She goes, it's all right. God said, I had enough of you two laughing at me. I'm going to call his name laughter. But then it's all eyewitness, by the way. Then he tells him, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? Now, these Abraham and the two angels are standing there. He goes, Abraham, I'm about to take Sodom out. He's telling him what's going to happen. And what he does, Abraham goes with them. He walks with God. Now, by the way, since chapter 12, Abraham went from Shechem to Hebron. All these encounters are happening at Mount Hebron. Those of you who know what I'm talking about are happening at Mount Hebron. That's where Abraham was buried. That's the mountain we want for an inheritance. He reconfirms the promise. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, Sarah, and you will have a son. Even though you laughed. How did they move from the utter unbelief of laughing at God, both of them, Abraham fell on his face, she laughed at God, to 1 year later, they're birthing. Because God had a lot to do with their faith. Because when he established it with an eyewitness, it was sealed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to validate the testimony of your generations. And I'm going to birth it out of a spiritually dead womb. And Abraham, I'm doing this because I'm going to bring my son out of a spiritually dead womb of humanity. I'm going to bring him out and he's going to deliver humanity into life. Validating the testimony of the patriarchs. If he validated them then, and he validated the apostles, and validated Solomon, and validated all these people along the way, and he validates the witnesses in the book of Revelation with an eyewitness testimony, why is he not going to validate his last day apostolic church that's crying to him day in and day out for revival? Why would he not validate us too? Why wouldn't he do that? Verse 16, so he tells them, we're going to go take out Sodom. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So they go all the way from Hebron to a place where they can see the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham walks with God. When it said Abraham walked with God, he walked with God, communed with him. How do you know? How do you know? Look at verse 33. After all this intercession took place, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. They walked all the way to where they could see the plains. God's with man, walking with him in the earth in an eyewitness testimony. I don't know if that just gets you going, but it gets me going. This gets me going. And then he sends the two angels on to Sodom, because it says in the next chapter, the two angels went on, but the Lord stayed with Abraham. And when he was with him, he started telling him, I'm going to take out Sodom. Abraham started interceding. He said, God, if you could find 50, would you save them? He said, yeah. If you found 45, yep. 40, yep. 30, yep. 20, yep. I mean, the last time he was just, one more time, Lord, if we could find 10, just 10 in the city, would you do it? And God said, yep, I'd do it. If he would have asked one more time, he had one righteous man in the city, Lot. He would have saved the city. He's interceding with God in an eyewitness state. That's why God knew Abraham and Abraham knew God. That's why he had so much respect for him. He validated him with his sons. He validated him with Isaac and Jacob and validated his lineage. He brought the kings out through his lineage. And then he validated him with the birth of Christ. Just like he said, and he fulfilled all of his promises in Christ. Became the heir of the world, seated at the right hand of God. And then God organized a whole nother group of witnesses to bear witness of his resurrection. And that's where we are today. We're going to get to do it again. Everyone say, do it again! Let's all stand. Say, do it again! Do it again! Now, the reason why the Holy Ghost is being so thorough with this, because when you venture into something like this, you don't go half-heartedly into something like this. This is heavy and it's weighty, but I'm telling you, God is going to establish his witness and testimony to the last day church. It's part of the way he does it. Father, thank you for your word today. I know this is heavy, but Lord, we're going for it. There is no other way to do this. We want it. We thank you, Father, you have spoken it. We have captured the testimony of it from Genesis to Revelation. And we thank you, Father God, you will establish the corporate eyewitness, not to one, but to many. You will establish it. So your apostles in the last days will once again give testimony of the resurrection. And the Holy Ghost will bear and authenticate the testimony. Signs, miracles, wonders, confirming the word of their testimony, confirming the word that they preach, the threefold apostolic witness. I thank you, Father, for establishing the blueprint again, for laying it down. We're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed, Father. Whatever it may cost, that's where we're going. Wherever it may cost, that's what we want. There's no other path for us, Father. We're not here to build a church in the natural. We want you to build it. Unless you build the house, we're laboring in vain. I thank you, you hear us, Lord. You prepare us. Prepare thy temple for your arrival. Prepare thy temple for your testimony. In Jesus' name, prepare our temple. Help us to understand its importance, the validation. In the mouth of three witnesses you go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. This is not a light thing. I felt the weightiness of it today, Father. But I thank you it's the way you're going to build it again. Do it again, Father. Do it again. Everyone say, do it again. Do it again. Do it again, Lord.